I'm still mourning that game last night. So, good morning, Saints and Red Wing fans. How about that hockey playoff game, huh? Had to be one of the longest games I ever saw. And doesn't it seem like hockey and basketball last forever? Seems like it's never over, and then when it's over, it just starts all over again. But the good news is it's time for baseball and the Detroit Tigers, right? And Jimmy Leland, who the Pittsburgh Pirates loaned to the Tigers 20 years ago to help you guys win the title, because we haven't been close ever since. So please pray for Ginger and I as we go back to Pittsburgh next week. And we really do covet our prayers. We're going to go back to some of the churches that support us, as well as individuals that support this ministry. So, again, we covet your prayers, and maybe we'll see the seventh game of the Stanley Cup. Probably not. But the good news here today on Sunday is that we get to greet one another, whether we're Red Wing fans or not. We're all in the body of Christ. So take this time to greet everybody in the name of the Lord. And if you see somebody you don't know, introduce yourself.
Just got to do a sermon.
And then closing. Did you say that, Jim? As I said previously, the baseball season is upon us, and I myself am a big baseball fan. I've loved baseball ever since I was a toddler, and I do remember the 1960 Pittsburgh Pirates. At least my mom would talk to me about that when I was in the cradle. But what I remember about, I just remember everything about that team. I remember the infield with Dick Stewart and Bill Mazeroski and Don Hoke and Dick Groat. In the outfield, we had Skinner, Billy Verdon, and Roberto Clemente. And behind home plate, we had Smokey Bird, just a big hulk of a guy that nothing got by him, because if it didn't hit his glove, it hit his body. And I remember Alroy Face and Harvey Haddix and Bob Friend, and I got so attached to that team. And who do they have to play in the World Series? The New York Yankees. I am not a Yankees fan. And they had won the series before, and they had won many series during that time frame. And they were getting beat up, but you know, they had tied up the series 3-3. And they went into the bottom of the ninth in the seventh game. The bottom of the ninth, and the score was 9-9. And our second baseman, Bill Mazeroski, comes to the plate, and he just slams it over the center field wall, and the game was over. I was a youngster then. I won't tell you my age, but just the thrill of that game, because we all thought that the Yankees was going to pummel us, sort of like the Red Wings were the Penguins. But it gave me such a liking to baseball. But you know what? I never was a baseball player until somebody took interest in me. I remember when I was a youngster, about 13 and 14, and didn't really feel like I fit into anything. I was gangly. I was probably 6 foot then and weighed about 120 pounds and certainly didn't look like I was any type of athlete. I had some friends, but I was more or less a loner. But that was before the men from the church, or one of the men from the church, asked me to join the Foot of Ten Independent Bible Church softball team. I'll try to get that in the back of a t-shirt. Foot of Ten, Pennsylvania. Because you see, I never belonged to any team. Yeah, we played, out in the field all the time. There wasn't any organized little league where I lived in the boonies of Pennsylvania. But you know what? It was exciting for a young guy who never played the game or never played organized sports. So here I was, Merle McGee, to myself, a quiet loner and loser. But now, Merle McGee, member of the Foot of Ten Independent Bible Church softball team. We had a coach, his name was Junior Snyder. The guy really knew baseball. He knew baseball inside and out. And he came to me asking me if I wanted to be on the team. He didn't know me. He just knew that I was with the other Sunday school kids. But you know, the number one thing that I remember is that he accepted me. Whether I was talented or not, he accepted me and wanted me to be a member of that team. Number two, the second thing is he believed in all of us. He believed that we all had gifts. What I really liked about him is we were secure knowing that if we didn't play well, it didn't matter to him. It was just that we were in the game, that we played the game, that we kept on swinging. You know, he's the type of guy that was always cheering us. You can do it. You can do it. Batter, 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 batter. You can do it. You can do it. Here comes a pitch. Come on, come on, come on. Always encouraging. It was just truly amazing because of this. We as individuals were more important to him than winning a trophy. We were more important to him than winning a trophy. And each of us felt significant and important. We only had 10 players. What does that mean? In a softball team, how many players are there? 10. 10 in softball. So what does that mean? We all got to play. It was great. You know, there were no losers on the bench. We were all out in the field. Of course, for me, you know what position they put the guy out that's not a very good player? Right field. And there I was. Right field. But what a great year we had. What a great year. Yes, I caught a few balls. And I had a batting average of .350. Yeah, that's me, the loser, Merle McGee, the loser. Yeah, pretty cool. Boy, do you know what that does for you? To know that you're on a team, that you're wanted, that you're accepted, that you were significant, that each player had a role to play. And more than that, the coach's primary goal was more about his love of the game and changing our lives for the kingdom. That was his purpose. I love that summer. I will never forget it. I mean, if you want to talk to me, I'll tell you about every hit that I got. but it was a great time. You know, it's not much different in a church that we all have a role to play. That as a body of Christ, we are a team. And we have identity. You see, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, like putting on the softball uniform, we have new identity in Christ. We really do. Here's what it says. Therefore, if a man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And we have a T-shirt that reads a lot more than Foot of Ten Independent Bible Church softball team. The title of the sermon is called Knowing Who We Are. I say that because we need to know who we are as a church. We need to know who we are as individuals in Christ and who we are as a body of believers. I also call this coining a phrase from the great philosopher Popeye the Sailor Man, I am who I am in Christ. Our scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 11 through 16. But before we do that, why don't you tell somebody next to you or behind you that you're happy to have them on the team as we study God's Word. You're happy to have them on the team as we study God's Word. Okay. Let's read this again, 4:11-16. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is a head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we come to you praising your name with our hearts open to hear your word. Lord, we pray for your presence here today in a meaningful way. Touch our hearts, open our minds to breathe in your word so we can breathe it out to others. Use me, Lord, as a vessel to speak through. Help me to empty myself of any thoughts that come from me. May they all be thoughts coming straight from the throne. So with that, Lord, please guide us today and give us your words of wisdom so that we can apply it to our life here at Grace Christian Fellowship. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love being on that softball team at Foothill Independent Bible Church, but I find that being a teammate on God's team is even more exciting. Don't you? Amen. With Jesus, we're not just accepted, we're brought into the family of God. Have you ever sensed that? If you've gone out and you've met other Christians, it seems like you've known them forever, don't you? We're in a family. And what a wonderful thing to be. I mean, we are children of God. Look at John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Think about that. We're children of God. We're children of the King. Isn't that amazing? We're children of the King. We are adopted by the one who created us. And not only that, he gives us a uniform. Can you imagine? He gives us a crown of glory and a robe of righteousness that not only changes our outside, but changes, mightily changes our insides. We're also accepted as his friend. John 5:15 says, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, and for all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Get that? Not only is he saying, you're my friend, he's saying, whatever Dad said, I'm telling you about it. I'm giving you that word. And he's given us that word here, hasn't he? We're accepted. We're a child of God. And we're his friend. Ephesians 1:4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Can you imagine he chose us before the foundations of the world? Isn't that amazing that he knew, Merle McGee, I know what you're going to become and what's going to happen in your life someday. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be really exciting. So he chose us, didn't he? Chose us before we even knew that he was choosing us. We're accepted because, and we're accepted in a mighty way, because we're bought with a price. Bought with a price. 1 Corinthians says, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We're so valuable to Jesus Christ that he had to buy us. He had to ransom us by going to the cross and dying for us. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And this is love. Not that we love, but he loved us first and gave himself up for us. That's love, right? And that's what we're talking about here. Number two, you know we are secure. We're very secure. I mean, Romans says, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Junior Snyder lived this as he coached. He wasn't about us making errors. He was about us making good choices. God's not going to condemn us for the errors that we have. The consequences take care of themselves, don't they? We all know there's consequences to running away from God. But there's no condemnation from God if we believe in him. We have no condemnation. We're part of the team. And we're also secure in his love. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, is that secure? Amen. That's pretty secure, isn't it? We are secure because he's established us. He's anointed us for service. And he sealed us. He has sealed us with him. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to make that seal complete. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Now that's security, isn't it? We're sealed. What does sealed mean? You put somebody in some stuff to keep fresh in a plastic bag. And what do? To the top. You seal it. Why? To keep it there. To keep it fresh. To keep us fresh. To keep away the mold and this junk that tries to come into our life. We're sealed. We're established. We're anointed for service. Isn't that security? Yes. Amen. And this thing I had to learn is we are significant and we get in the game. We get in the game. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We're a vital part of his ministry, aren't we? We join the team and he wants us to succeed, doesn't he? He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear to this dying world something that's fresh, something that smells that sweet aroma of Christ, something that's new, something that people want. And he wants us to be a part of that plan and to abide with him. And we're significant because, like the coach at Foot of Ten, I didn't choose a team, did I? I didn't choose Junior Snyder to be my coach. He chose me. Listen to what John 15:16 says. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. So whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. Isn't that a wow? We're significant because he's chosen us. He's chosen us. He has seen value in us and has chosen us. And we're very significant. And we're part of the team. Number four, we have complete access to the coach, don't we? In whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. That's Ephesians 3:12. He died for us so that the sacrificial system would end. That you wouldn't have to go through a high priest. That you can go right through Jesus himself. We all have access to Jesus. We don't need a booth. We don't need anything. We need to get down on our knees and talk to him. Right? We need to talk to him. And he's not going to shut us off, is he? Because he's the best coach. He's the best manager. He's the best team owner. And he wants the best for us. And we have total access to him. You know, the body of Christ, especially Grace Christian Fellowship Church, is also a team. And we do have purpose. And here's some important points that I want to go through about being a part of that team. Because each member here holds an important position. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Is a church the pastor? No. Do we all have special gifts that God's given us? Yes. Yes. We have pitchers. We have catchers. We got infielders. We have outfielders. How important is a ball boy? How can you play games without the bats and balls? How do you do that? How important is a groundskeeper? How can you run the bases when there are none? How can you follow the lines when they're gone? We each have a part. We each have a part on God's team. Just like just picture a baseball pitcher without a catcher. Just picture that in your mind. That wouldn't go over very good, would that? Would it? It's pretty silly. But I think more importantly is that each member of this body is critical to one another. Very critical. Item two is that here at Grace Christian Fellowship, anybody can have an at-bat. We have lots to do here. We have lots of vacancies here. We want to field a team of 10 or 15 or 20. We need 30. There's vacancies and everybody has an opportunity to have an at-bat. It doesn't matter where. It could be cleaning the parking lot. It could be making the baptistry. It could be going out and ministering to people. It could be preparing food. I mean, it's everyone can get in the act. And we saw that last Sunday. We saw that last Sunday when the teams were serving and all of you prepared food. And you greeted and you helped. And Sarah's downstairs while the movie's going on doing dishes, you know. That's the team. That's how important the team is to the work of the ministry, right? You know, a good team also celebrates wins and mourns losses. I got to admit to you, I did strike out a few times. A couple times. Maybe more than a couple. But there wasn't a time that I came off that home plate that I didn't have my fellow teammates saying, nice try, nice try. You'll do better next time. You'll do better next time. That's the function of the church. When somebody strikes out, we all feel like we strike out, and we just cheer them on. So we celebrate wins, and we mourn losses. And yes, there is crying in baseball, contrary to what Tom Hanks might be saying in A League of Their Own. There is crying when it comes to our body of believers. There's crying when someone is lost. There's crying when someone's hurting. There's crying when things go wrong in other people's lives. And we're here to celebrate the wins and to be there to cry and mourn with everyone. 1 Corinthians says, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Does that tell the story? It does. It tells a story. The great thing is that we have a coach that is very much interested in us and has a common goal for us. And that's changing, being a change agent to change lives and win souls for the kingdom of heaven. That's what he has for us, for all of us. When I say change lives, it's being involved in each other's lives. To give that Christ-like love, to accept, to make them feel secure, to make them part of the team. Don't get me wrong, we're not going to ever play church here. But we're going to be a church. Playing church is just an exercise. Being a church is an adventure. Right? Did I get an amen on that? Amen. Because we feel accepted, secure, significant, we have access to the coach, it motivates all of us. I responded to Junior Snyder because I didn't want to let him down. Does that make sense to you? We respond to God because he has high expectations of us and we don't want to let him down. This response is not a works trip. I'm going to work. I'm going to do. No, it's about responding to the love of God. The one who paid the price for us as we were yet sinners on the cross. Who are we as a church and what does God want us to be when we grow up? Well, that's something we need to think about. And that's something we need to pray about. We're not a one-function ministry. We're a community ministry. And as doors open for us, God will tell us what team to go where and who's going to bat. And who's going to play right field or left field or catcher. Right now, we're a discipleship club for children's Sunday school. We're a men's group. Right, guys? Come on, come on. Give me a marine. Ooh. Okay, there you go. We're ladies' groups, right? Ladies? Okay. We're a small group starting this weekend with Fireproof. We're about missions. We're about the youth group. We're about worship and music. And most of all, we're about Grace Christian Fellowship Church, trying to create a loving environment that leads people into a growing relationship with Christ. Bill Mazeroski was a great second baseman. And yes, he did win the game. But what you may not know about Bill Mazeroski is that he's also a Christian. And what does that say, Mike? Was it off the top?
Off the top, God's yeah. Simple plan of salvation.
Okay, and what's on the back there?
Oh, he signed it.
Well, say it, who is it?
I've never heard of him. But...
Bill Mazeroski. Bill Mazeroski. But that's still not the end of the story. Because the second baseman for the New York Yankees was Bobby Richardson. Bobby Richardson in the World Series hit one home run, two doubles, and two triples. He drove in 11 RBIs. And he is the only World Series most valuable player that came from the losing team. Okay? Bobby Richardson also coached Liberty University in baseball. He also took South Carolina University to the College World Series. Of course, he did not win that, but he did take them to the World Series. Bobby Richardson became an evangelist for Christ. And Bobby Richardson had an opportunity on Mickey Mantle's deathbed to offer him the salvation message. Sports people are part of Christ's team too. We all have a part. We might think it's second base, but it might be something greater than to lead somebody like Mickey Mantle to a life with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you just praising your name. And we come to you asking you to reveal to us what you want us to be when we grow up. We know that we're about your work. So, Lord, we need more workers on this team. So we pray for that. We also need more direction as you expand our ministries. And we pray for that. We also thank you, Lord, that in your kingdom, and you're the only God that has accepted his people, has made his people secure, has given us significance, and paid a price for all of us. We thank you for that. This time I ask any of you that do not know Christ, that maybe today's a day of salvation for you. The sinner's prayer is fairly simple. The walk is tough, but the sinner's prayer is fairly simple. You say to Lord, you say, dear God, I repent of my sins, and I turn to you and accept you as my personal Savior. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if any of you have not accepted Christ for the first time, I want you to do that right now. I really ask that you say this simple prayer to yourself. Lord, I repent of my sins and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask a question whether anybody has done that. If you have, just put your hand up and back down so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? In closing, Lord, we thank you so much for building this team here. We know, Lord, that if it would have been us, we wouldn't have chosen one another, but you chose a mighty, mighty crew to do your work of ministry here at Grace Christian Fellowship. Lord, just bless us in everything that we do. Give us favor in the community and favor throughout Michigan. We pray, Lord, that they don't think of Grace Christian Fellowship Church. They just think about that church up there across the street from the Habitat for Humanity that love Jesus Christ. That's the identity we want. So with that, Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said,
Amen.